Good morning, my name is Wilhelm, and this is the 19th episode of the Nordost podcast, and the 6th episode if you're following the track in English. A while ago, I was a guest on the Mom's Basement podcast, and we discussed indie gaming. But after the episode had been recorded, the host stayed online for a while, and we talked about, well, whatever. I thought that some bits of that discussion would be of interest to you, so I got their permission to post it here as an episode of our podcast. So thanks again to Alex, Rudy and William for both having me on their podcast and for letting me share this on mine.
I guess signing off. Alex, are you ready to unplug the microphone?
Hand is at the ready, just waiting for the call.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here it comes.
Three, two, one. Ejecting microphone.
Boom. Pow. Done.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Wilhelm, for coming and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, well, I'm going to duck out for a minute here, and I will be back. So you guys can continue to talk, or you can, you know, whatever.
Okay, we can continue to rock.
Continue to rock. Rock out.
So yeah, Wilhelm, that's pretty much the experience we have on a weekly basis. So so there you go.
Yeah. Actually, it was great fun, and I think it was the discussion gave everyone something, of us who participated in it, and I suppose your listeners will find something as well.
Yeah. They always do, somehow.
Yeah, I see you have more comments and discussion on your podcast than I do on mine.
Well, don't you, like, I mean, in terms of our actual website, the Blogspot thing, we pretty much get no comments whatsoever. But on the Crosstalk thing, we get a few, and that's just because we have our own dedicated section. Plus, every now and then, I may say something volatile and, you know, piss somebody off. And then they'll come and go like, well, what the hell is this? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'll just tell them, calm down. I was not talking about you.
No, but still, even if they're angry and upset, they, they listen to the podcast.
And B, they care.
They cared enough to actually get back to you and tell you something. That's love.
Well, that's good. That is love.
Because if they dislike the podcast, they will screw this and never listen again. But if they listen and get angry and angry enough to actually give you feedback, that is so valuable.
Yeah, it's kind of like with the standard business saying of that 99% of your audience is never going to tell you what they think is wrong with your store. And the same thing is going to apply with a podcast. Oh, but the one thing I was going to do, which was quite silly, I was going to say that you were part of the Norse division for OST, you know, the Halo group for, you know, because there's a video game called, you know, Halo ODST, I believe.
Okay.
And I was going to say you were part of the Norse division of ODST.
Okay.
I like to do that every now and then when I just pull little jokes every now and then, because, like, you know, when I said the Battle of the Baltic reference there, every now and then I just like to be a little silly on the mic. And I am very glad I was not given the I was not forced to say an actual title for an indie game, because what I was going to do was I was going to use my my trolling game.
Which your made-up game.
My made-up game. I was going to use Beyond Coyote's Door as a as my reference of a game I like about indie games. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to let you know about this one, because this is a secret I love to tell with everyone. It's an open secret, basically, where I want to tell people all the time about what I did here. But with the Game Chef episode that we did, I did not have enough games for a top 10. Because, you know, I didn't read any of the Italian games, so that might have been my fault there. And that's just because I thought they were, the original, translations, you know, the original transcripts of the game, and then the English section was the translated ones. So I didn't read any of them.
Huh.
But basically what happened was, you know, I only had like 9 games, and like 3 of them were like throwaway games because they were just people I knew who made games for the contest. And so when I made up a game, and it was my number 4 game, Beyond Coyote's Door. And then me, William, and Rudy, we all like BS'd our way, just, and I like described it, and they didn't like call my bluff on the entire thing, and no one reported that I made up a game, except when I openly talked about it to other people. Like, I talked to a group of like podcasters of like what kind of indie games to look out for, and then I openly said, "Hey, why don't you check out Beyond Coyote's Door by Chris Henderson?" That was the guy I made up for it, and they said, "Dude, we can't find this game. You know, what's going on?" Blah blah blah.
So it's like Mornington Crescent, the role playing game, then.
Oh, is there? There's an actual. There's a game, yes, that people make up for funds.
I'm sorry, I spoiled everything for you now. there's this brilliant game about traveling the London subway called Mornington Crescent, where the players compete to reach the station Mornington Crescent as fast as possible. You should look it up; it's quite brilliant.
But yeah, that's what I did. So that I thought that would be too hacky if I did that for the podcast, considering like you know, this was a semi-legitimate conversation. So, but that's why I wanted to. I was like, dude, Beyond Coyote's Door is the shit. It's the greatest game in the world. You should really check it out, guys.
Is your confession coming on the podcast, or will that be left out?
That'll be left out because I stopped recording that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to get at, because I just love the idea that I made up a game and no one called me on it. So either they don't care, or, you know, no one's bothering to report me or even investigate it. Because there was like almost 100 games for Game Chef. And so like 9 times out of 10, somebody wasn't going to read all the games. So who's to say that they're even going to bother to look that game up?
I took part in the Game Chef last year. And I followed the discussions on the forum for maybe 10 or 15 games. But when the time we came to the review phase, I read the 4 assigned games and nothing else, because I was so wary with the whole Shakespeare thing.
I see.
Yeah. Complicated. Oh, that's awfully, that's really silly. I like that.
No, but it's the whole point of it is that you start playing this game, and you see how confused the people who are not in on the secret become.
Right.
These days of the internet, they will Google the rules to be able to partake, and then they will ruin the fun by actually stumbling across an explanation of what it is. But back in the day, it was a lot of fun.
Well, more than likely, I'm never going to have somebody actually play this game with me, so at least I'll be able to share the love of making someone play this game with me instead, where they don't know what the rules are. Oh, this would be a good time to consider doing this for, like, an actual role-playing game. To take this premise of a TV show and actually make it into a role-playing game.
You mean take the premise of a role-playing game where the rules are totally improvised and incomprehensible, and the point is that the people playing the game who don't know are confused and bewildered and trying to play along?
Yes.
That would be a very meta game. That would work almost as a critique of, like, a lot of trade games, a lot of the really complex, like Exalted or something, the really frustratingly complex trade games.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's up your alley, Will.
You think I should make that game?
Oh, totally. Well,
I think the game would be improvised, though, so anyone can make the game at any time.
Well, if I'm saying, though, that's the point, though, is you decide to write a rule book on how to make a random game.
Oh, I see.
So, and that would be completely... But I'm saying that would be completely misery tourism, right? That would be right up your alley.
That's true.
Oh, speaking of which, what do you guys have going for June? What game are you guys releasing for June there?
Well, we're debating. June is, what we've decided to do is Rudy and I go back and forth, right? So Rudy didn't, Rudy did May because two of my games were up and one of his game was up. So now we're even. I'm going to do June. I'm either going to do 6-page manual, which is my goofy, like, fun, affectionate parody of G-Form games, or I'm going to do Welfare Queens, which is my, cyberpunk meets Precious. If you've seen the movie Precious, game. It's basically a satirical game about upper-class white people who spend their upper-class white people with, you know, straight-laced white-collar jobs who spend their evenings in these virtual reality dens where they pretend to be poor people on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, and get off on that kind of humiliation. And it's based on movies like Precious, which are obvious, which present themselves as, like, you know, real tales from the ghetto, but are really supposed to be watched by middle-class white people for basically, like, misery tourism, for empathy tourism. Like, oh, look how bad these people have it, you know, and people getting off on that. So that's, it's a sci-fi take on that.
Yeah, we forgot to mention this to you, but Will and Rudy have a website called Misery Tourism, and right now, Misery Tourism Games. And the goal is they make games that are not mainstream. They're very indie, yo.
We make the
you probably never heard about them. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You probably never heard about them.
No, I'm sure most people haven't. It's not. We just started doing it, but the tagline is "terrible games about terrible people in terrible situations." It's miserytourism1word.com.
Yeah, I'm there right now. Have you played this Danish game, Monsegur 1244?
No, I haven't heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
You should. If you're into mystery tourism, you should play this game.
that's the one about the Crusaders that...
Yeah, but you're on the other side of the Crusade, I'm afraid. The Crusaders have... besieged your fortress, and in the end you will die. And now we play that last time before your death.
That's pretty awesome.
I could totally get down with that.
It is a very good, we would call it a freeform game here. Mm-hmm. In the US it's marketed as an indie game, an indie title. And it's entirely diceless. There's no rules for conflict resolution or task resolution or anything. You just have scenes and you have to find out what horrible things happened to these people. And it draws you in. I usually feel a bit sick after playing this game because it usually turns so horrible.
Right. Yeah, definitely have to look into that.
And there's... it's based on a true story, which makes it so much even worse.
Mm.
But it's a nice game. I took the rules for that when I wrote The Daughters of Verona, my Game Chef game from last year, which on the other hand then is a game of Shakespearean comedy, so it's on the other side of the spectrum entirely, from utmost depressive drama to cheery comedies. But they can use not exactly the same, but very similar mechanics. And they still work. And I thought that was rather fun to realize when I did the first playtest of my game that I took the mechanics from this deeply depressing game and they worked very well for my game as well.
Huh. Yeah, definitely. We're always looking for games to talk about on the podcast. Usually what we do is we do a little private playtest of them and then we talk about them. So that would definitely be something to do on a day when we didn't have a assigned game.
I will gladly assign you to play my games because no one speaks about them online, you know.
Yeah, absolutely we will. We take requests. Yeah, we enjoy playing new games and especially games that are kind of low profile. You know, and especially if they're unique. You know, I hate to see, you see so many Apocalypse World hacks and things. It's really refreshing to sit down and play a game that's totally different.
Yes. I have a thread on the RPG Crosstalk forums.
Yeah, it's the not quite English.
Yeah, the not quite thing, English, right? Yes. And there, Ray just got back to me after 4 months after listening to the first English language podcast. And he said something that I quite agree with. He said that I want an actual play podcast to show me a game that is uncommon, that people don't know much about. And it should show the game as a group of friends play it, so I can get an idea of what it would play for my group. And that is, I only listen to actual play podcasts of games that I don't know, because it takes a lot of time, and usually I don't find role-playing games to be a spectator sport.
Right.
You have to participate to have the fun, really. You can sit on the sidelines, but it's not the same deal. But by listening to this, I can get an idea. Is this a game for me? So that was very fun to hear that our podcast filled that need for him.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I'd like to see more. And that's why I don't listen to too many actual play podcasts. Well, both things. First, what you said, I don't really see it as a spectator sport either. And when you're listening to someone play, you're always like, wait, I want to join. And then you can't. But also, the fact that it's like, oh yeah, they're playing a bunch of games that everyone is kind of familiar with, and, you know, I've played it with my group, or I've looked at the game, and I don't really want to play it, and there's nothing surprising there. You know, and seeing someone sit down and play a game and say, oh, hey, I've never heard of that game before. That's cool.
We've had a fortunate turn of events for every podcast with actual play that we've recorded, that at least one of the players who's at the table hasn't played the game before. So in the while we are recording, we're actually teaching, well, this player, whoever it may be, the game. And by that, we're also teaching our listeners about, well, the game. How should we play this? So they can follow. If they have the book, they can look at the materials. Maybe they have the character sheet. They can see, oh, they're talking about this. Oh, yeah, now I understand.
Well, what I would say here, when it came to like actual play podcasts, there, I actually do like listening to them, and I'm not like with Will there, where, you know, I might want to interject with anything like that. I usually take it like a presentation, you know, like a movie, you know, that kind of thing, an audiobook. I take it for what it is, and the biggest problem I always find with a lot of APs is either the audio quality or the actual material itself. Because a lot of the times, either the audio quality is spotty, or if it's good, the actual thing that's being presented, the material, is very, very dry.
Yes.
Almost boring. I want to give this example here. Like the one with, there's a podcast group called Rusak Gamers. And they did a Burning Empires example for their game there, for one of the APs. And this is what I was getting at with the pretentiousness and, you know, all that kind of stuff when it came to indie games and why I didn't really like a lot of them. And when they were playing it, for the example, they were describing in detail how each scene is framed versus just acting out and responding. And to me, that it may be semi-interesting when you're playing it that way, but undressing this, you know, the game itself mid-game is not that fun to me. And so just the actual material of their AP may be interesting to some people, but it bores the heck out of me because they're describing how they're playing the game mid-game.
Yeah.
And they're describing each scene midway, and it's just, ugh.
Well, actually, that is what I'm looking for in actual play podcasts. If I were following the story, the events that they experience, then I would also feel, what? Stay with the game, stay with the story, don't drift away, start talking rules. But if I want to see, all right, what does this game play like? Why? What is it like? Would I like this? I like that. So that's why we leave those discussions in the podcast when we release our actual play. We leave everything there.
You misunderstand me, Wilhelm.
Okay.
That's part of the game. Burning Empires, you describe the scene of what's going on and like what other people are doing in the middle of the game. So the actual game itself is boring to me because it does, it's like describing what's going on in an AP, but that's the requirement. That's not the, you know, for the actual game itself, that's not a suggestive thing that the players do for the listeners.
You will hate my games. So it will be interesting to hear a podcast now that you promised to play them.
Well, yeah, we'll play games regardless of how we like or dislike it, and we'll probably make it fun because, you know, we are not going to stop ourselves from having a good time because the book dictates me to have a bad time, you know, based on my preferences. Yeah. And the only thing is, like, at the, it'll be confusing because you'll be listening to it and, you know, us laughing, having a good time, and then you'll get to the actual recording where I say, this game is dog shit. It's terrible.
When I did my first game, I couldn't get any reviews at all. So I actually posted on a forum, well, would someone please review my game? I will send you these other games as a bribe if only you review my game. And there was a condition. If you dislike my game, or even if you like it, you must say why. I didn't like this game because it did the following things wrong. And I prefer games who work like this. So even a listener who wouldn't agree with the reviewer could understand that, okay, the game provided this experience and it wasn't for him. Maybe it's for me. Okay. So if you don't like the game, that's excellent because you bothered enough to form an opinion. But the awesome deal is that you say why you didn't like it, what you would have preferred. That's,
yeah, like when we do our reviews in general, we give the full reasoning behind everything. It's not this game blew, the dice mechanic sucks. Rudy, what's your topic? Like, what do you feel about it? We don't do that. It's like I really didn't like the character generation because of blah blah blah. You know, all that kind of stuff. We go very in depth. That's why most of our reviews take like half an hour between all three of us.
But it takes time to explain your verdict. To give a verdict can be done in seconds, but to explain that takes time. So I think it should be able to take time.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much 10 minutes between, you know, each and every one of us, and we go all together in one effort. We don't say our 10-minute spiel and then have the next person do. It's all together, one after another. So that way everyone gets a good idea of what's going on here. You'll like it.
Now, Wilhelm, do you do, when you do actual play, is it over Skype or is it usually in the same room?
No, we're in the same room. I have this Zoom H4 hand recorder.
Oh, okay. And I was just going to ask how you recorded it.
Yeah, and I place that in the middle of the table and press record, and then we play. And then I press stop, and then I unload to my computer and listen if it's stuck. If we got good enough quality. So I record maybe three games, and I one out of three I can actually work with and release.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, we used to do a lot of actual play recordings on this one, but we found that the quality was just too bad. Yeah. Because a lot of times we're moving around and we're doing stuff. So
yes.
It's kind of...
It is a problem.
Go ahead.
But we play, and if I get a podcast episode out of it, that's a bonus. We don't meet to do an actual play episode. We meet to play, and then maybe I get an episode.
Okay.
When we meet to do the group discussions, we haven't done any of those in English, so I don't think you will listen to those. But we do the same way, but then everyone is aware that we are recording. We make it intentional. We don't have any snacks that make, and we put coasters on the mugs and everything. But when we
snacks that make you sound like a dead cat. Well, I'm with you because, like, one of the things that's that I always find interesting is you know, the people who are willing to be like completely honest with their thought process, because I always find the biggest trouble you're going to get with people, like in just conversations in general, is that a lot of them will self-censor themselves mid-conversation, and then that's where you get a lot of your problems in terms of like the lack of flow and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Or just an honest opinion, because, you know, why have the person there if they're just going to lie to you half the time about like what they really mean?
Yeah.
To avoid that, when we play, if we're going to play a really intense game, I won't even take out the recorder, because we want people to self-censor when we're playing, because we're there to play, to experience the game. Then I think that during our discussions and actual play, there's some element of self-censorship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something we have to learn how to live with.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be completely honest when you don't know who will listen.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. But you should hear some of our old actual plays, because we don't censor much at all. It's pretty much like view from the living room type of deal.
Yeah. One of our favorite listeners, Dan Maruschak.
Yeah.
claimed that the podcast was cinema verite, or a truthful camera. That's what it's called in the normal English there, where everything that you see is exactly what's happening, which kind of makes it interesting considering I try to pull pranks every now and then on the show. So it's like a mixture of truthful camera and a mixture of like prepared bits. One of the things I wanted to mention there was when I said battle meditation. That was a Jedi reference.
Yes, I caught that one. I caught that one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I do that a lot with when I talk, is every now and then I'll just pull a reference out of my hat, and then if you catch that, that's a bonus prize for you. But if not, you know, so what?
Easter egg in the episode.
Well, I'm glad you caught that one, Will, because that one took a little effort for me. All right, well... If I'm going to start editing when we're all said and done with our conversation pieces, that way I can hear every single blip and bloop.
If you want to hear more of the others, I will post a link to their podcast in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Have a nice day.